talented folks here at camp, and I very, very much appreciate you guys sharing your talents with us. You know, you're all very, very beautiful people. You all have special talents that God has given you and special abilities that God has blessed you with. I hope that you're able to serve and to give and to share those talents with those you come in contact with. Some of you have beautiful voices. Some can play instruments. Others can do other neat things. Please make sure to be sharing and using those blessings that God has given to each and every one of you. Well, it's been a great week at camp. Some of you, way back in the month of March, applied really, really early to camp. Some of you were so excited to come to camp, you were jumping on Facebook. When can we apply? When can we apply? We're just so excited. When can we apply? And as soon as the camp directors and the staff at the home office opened the website for applications, you were there. Some of you last year, some of you staff last year, were so excited to come to camp, you actually applied before the system was even open. And you actually ended up applying into the 2010 system because last year's system wasn't ready yet. You were so excited for camp, you just could not wait. Many of you perhaps had some sleepless nights coming into camp. Butterflies, you know, some of that adrenaline starting to pump. Maybe you were extremely excited for the start of camp. Maybe there was a little bit of nervousness. Maybe it was your first time at any camp. Or maybe it was your first time here at High Sierra. Maybe you had to jump onto a plane and actually take a flight. There was no doubt some uncertainty. But nonetheless, excitement. You were looking forward to seeing old friends and expecting to meet new friends. But no matter what you did, you could not make camp come any faster. It came when it came. No matter your excitement level, no matter how much you wanted it to come so much faster, no matter how far in advance you wanted it to come, you could not make camp start any sooner than it did. Some things in life we don't want to wait for. Waiting is problematic, isn't it? Waiting is problematic. For one, you have to wait. For two, you don't get it right now, whatever it is that you want. You don't get it right now. But who likes to wait? Who likes to wait? It's patience, isn't it? Patience is required in there. And my time is my time. My time is important, and I don't want to have to wait. Society right now has this infatuation with instant gratification. Society is all about instant gratification. The internet is great for allowing that instant gratification. And there's a lot of bad things out on the internet that help spur and help promote that instant gratification. The online buying company eBay even has a buy it now button. In case you're too impatient and you just can't wait to buy that item, you can buy it now. And you don't have to wait for a couple of days. You may end up saving some money on it if you were to wait and let the auction play out. But they have the ability that you can buy it now. You don't have to wait. Instant gratification, you click it, you provide your credit card number, and it's in the mail. Car salesmen and other types of salesmen, furniture salesmen and so on, they thrive on that kind of instant gratification. You need this car. You have to have this. This thing, this car will turn heads. You'll be popular. Think about some of the commercials maybe you see on TV. If you switch to this car insurance, you'll instantly save money. If you buy this product, you're going to lose all kinds of weight. If you eat this food, you're going to look like the model that's on the TV commercial. Instant gratification. Society, though, is giddy over instant gratification. Go with me back to the very first book of the Bible. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Here God had just recreated the earth. It was beautiful. It was stunning. It was amazing. He made man to care for the earth. He created man and woman then to fill the earth and multiply it. In chapter 3, we read of the temptation here of man by Satan the devil. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. God says, Don't touch that tree. Stay away from that one. There's other things here you can eat. There's other fun things you can do in a garden, but stay away from that one. What was Satan's response, though? You don't have to listen to him. You can have it now. You can be like a god now. Verse 4, Then the serpent said to the woman, You're not going to die. There's no need to build character. You don't have to go through this life and experience these trials and have to stand up to people in school and ask for the Sabbath off and explain why you're going away during the fall for a church outing. Why not go in the summertime? Satan says, You don't have to go through all of that. You will not surely die. Verse 5, For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. Instant gratification is what he was selling. In the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. He sold her instant gratification. You don't have to wait. You can be like God now. Verse 6, So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Don't wait for it, Satan was telling Eve. Don't wait for it. Be satisfied now. Have what you want now. You want wisdom. Eat this. You want to be like God. Eat this. Don't mind that thing that God is telling you. Have it now. Have it your way. Go for the knowledge of good and evil now. No need to build character. Let's go over to the book of Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And in verse 16, a young individual comes up to Jesus Christ and begins to pose this concept of instant gratification. He wants to know what he can do now to inherit the kingdom of life. Verse 16 of Matthew 19. Now behold, one came and said to him, Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17 tells him that if he wants to enter into the life, to keep the commandments. And he says to him, Which ones? He thinks he's already accomplished it. He's already keeping the commandments. He's not killing anyone. He's keeping the Sabbath day. He's doing the things he thinks he should. And he thinks he's golden. He thinks he's there. He thinks that he's on the right track. But Jesus Christ says, No, instant gratification doesn't work. It's not just here. It's a lifelong process. You have to keep at it. You have to build it. You have to work with it. And verse 20 says, If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had a lot of possessions. He was all about that instant gratification. He wanted to take the shortcut. He wanted to click the buy it now button and instantly have eternal life, to be locked in and to be golden. He wanted that guarantee. We can find that it's relatively easy to keep some of the physical aspects of God's commandments. Maybe it's easy to go to church. Maybe you go to church with a lot of friends, and so you look forward to going to church because the friends are there. Maybe it's easy to go off to the Feast of Tabernacles because your parents love the beach. And so you always get to go to some sort of warm feast site. Maybe you can't stand the smell of smoke, and so that's not a draw for you. But here Christ tells us we can't just focus on the here now. We have to have a plan. We have to have a goal of what's out in the future. Another similar concept to the instant gratification is the buy now, pay later. Maybe you've seen car dealerships. Buy now, pay later. You know, all credit approved. Buy now, pay later. This is exactly what Satan is selling to all of us here today. Satan is selling the buy now, pay later philosophy. That's what he wants us to latch onto. That's what Satan was selling back in the Garden of Eden. Satan is saying, you don't need to take, there is no need to plan for the future. Do what you want now. Take your future now. You want to have sex? Go for it. Everyone's doing it. You want to go kiss and kind of make out? Go for it. Do what you want to do. Don't wait for marriage. It's old-fashioned anyways. If you want something now, no need to save for it, plan for it. Put it on your credit card. Figure it out later. You want the girl or the guy that you got your eye on? Go attack it. Go after it. Do everything you can to grab hold of it. Take it now. Position yourself, hurt others, do whatever you have to do. Make sure that you achieve your goal. That's what Satan is selling society. Buy now, pay later. Satan is telling that dating is not a means to find what kind of person you want to marry. Dating is a means to get what you want. We all have needs. We all have things that we desire. Satan sells dating from the perspective of satisfying your own needs. It's that inward focus. Maybe we date to score. We begin to explore the emotions that God has reserved for marriage. And yet, that's the idea that Satan is pushing. Buy it now. Get what you want now. Figure out the rest later. Deal with the consequences later. Satan twists society with relationships, with sex, with dating, with marriage. And those concepts, among many, many others, Satan has twisted, and he's jumbled it up. What about finances? Credit card debt here in the United States of America is at an all-time high. Credit card companies position themselves at universities so that they can pick off incoming university students. You don't have a job, no way for you to pay for it, but here's a credit card. Figure it out. Don't worry about the payments in the end. This is a credit card. This proves that you're an adult. You have a credit card. Don't have a job? That's okay. Just fill out this application. We'll even give you a hand back. Students with no jobs can easily get approved for credit card companies when they're in college. It doesn't matter how we pay for it. Again, Satan is all about the buy it now principle. Buy it now, figure it out later. The rest doesn't matter. It even works that way with food and diet too, doesn't it? We can eat whatever we want, and we can just go to the gym later. It doesn't matter what negative effect it has on our bodies. It doesn't matter what negative effect it might have long-term on our bodies. You can have that junk food. You can eat whatever you want or drink whatever you want. You just go to the gym later, and you know, you're young and strapping, and you can work it off. My main question for you today, though, is what are you buying? What are you buying? Satan has a whole slew of things that he's selling. He's selling the wrong form of dating. He's selling sex out of marriage. He's selling drugs and alcohol and all kinds of wrong pressures. Satan is selling a financial plan for your life that is doomed for failure. What are you buying, though? At your age, the youngest all the way to the oldest here, what is it that you're buying? God's desire is that we stay focused on Him. He's not focused on what we can buy now. He's not focused on that instant gratification. Now, I have a can. Maybe some of you have seen this demonstration before. When we're born, we're a perfect can. We're smooth, we're round, we're nice and shiny. Our choices, though, and what we end up buying determines what our can looks like. And maybe we can do certain things, and maybe we can think, oh, I can buy that now. I can have that action. I can go make out with a guy or girl and you know, do things with them, and it won't matter. You know, baptism's still in front of me. I'll just simply pray for God to forgive me, and at baptism, all that stuff goes away. So it doesn't matter what I do now. And so our actions then can maybe end up denting our can. And depending on what it is, maybe it's fairly easy to pop that dent back out. And we're back to what we think is a nice looking can. In the end, though, we still have some remnants, some little cracks and crevices and bumps that can't be pumped back out. What we buy from Satan's society is very, very important. We think that we can move past it, but we can't. There's always some residual effect of what we buy. And if we keep going down that road, and we keep buying, and we keep trying to bump out, and we keep buying, and we keep bumping it out, and we keep buying, eventually we're going to get to the point where we've damaged our cans to the point that it's really difficult to get it all back out. And we end up having bought something that we're not happy with. And it leads to being miserable down the road. It leads to being unhappy down the road. And it leads to consequences then, like this can. We can't seem to bring back that beautiful can like we were. We've lived here at this camp God's way for a whole week. We've experienced the way of life here at this camp where Satan is not selling anything here at camp. He was locked out at the gate. And we put God first throughout this whole camp. We can live this way for the rest of our lives. The choice, though, is up to us. And it depends what we want to buy. Do we want to buy something? Do we want to have the kind of life that is a can that's not able to be smoothed back out? You are being called. God absolutely wants you in His family, each and every one of you. You have the tools and you have the opportunity to grab hold of that and buy only that which God is selling. What God is giving away to you. God has a great place for you to be in His family. And He wants to offer that to you. In order to do that, though, you have to reject what Satan is selling. And he's selling a whole lot of stuff. And it's shiny, and it's pretty, and it glitters, and it gleams, and it looks fun. But in the end, we end up damaging who we are. And we end up buying something that we don't really want down the road. Satan is selling all of us a lie. You can't have what you humanly want now and expect God's blessings to come to you. It's not possible. We can't have the buy it now principle and still expect those blessings. We can't live the way we want and buy what Satan is selling and still expect this beautiful, happy, perfect life filled with blessings, like several scriptures in the Bible talk about. Adam and Eve bought the lie. Other individuals in the Bible bought the lie. And Satan now wants each of you to buy his lie. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. This is what God is offering. God is offering something very different than what Satan offers. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, this is a good memory scripture for all of us to keep in mind. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." God does not have a buy now, pay later payment plan. God has a build character now, grow in character now. You'll be blessed throughout your life, and in the end, you'll be given eternal life. And you'll become God. That's what God offers. Satan offers the complete opposite. Buy now, do whatever you want, and wean the rest of your life. We want things, though, on our schedule. God says, though, we need to work on His schedule. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put our own selfish nature and our own desires on the back burner. Focus on God. Focus on keeping His commandments. Focus developing that relationship with Him. Focus on figuring out who God is and what involvement He has in your life. Focus on developing a prayer life. Focus on starting a reading program and a study program so that you can begin to open the pages of the Bible and find out why God even created you. the word here in verse 33, for seek, for, where it says seek first the kingdom of God, means to eagerly yearn for, or can't wait for. I'm sure when it came to applying for camp, you sought first the camp experience. You were so excited for it. You were seeking that camp experience. You were eagerly waiting to be here. God wants us to take some of that energy and some of what we were hoping for in this week and put it toward His kingdom, toward His way of life. He wants us to be excited for something. How many of you ever had butterflies in your stomach because you're so excitedly nervous, anxious for something to happen? That's what God wants us to have toward His kingdom. When I asked my beautiful wife to marry me, there were butterflies like you would not believe. It was a gorgeous restaurant. It was awesome. I had the whole thing planned out. Her parents and her sisters and my parents were in the other room waiting for us. We were having dinner. I cannot even begin to describe the amount of butterflies and nervousness and shaking of the body, that was going on. God wants us to be like that toward His kingdom. He wants us to be so excited and so looking forward to His kingdom, to His way of life. Another definition here regarding this word seek is the word crave. How many of you crave something? Maybe some of you are craving some food right now. To crave means to have a type of appetite for something, or a great desire for something. That's what God wants us to have. Matthew 6:33 should be our lifelong mission going forward. To crave God's kingdom. To reject what Satan is telling. To reject the buy it now, pay it later philosophy. Seek first God's kingdom. Seek first His nature, His attitude, His behavior. Seek first taking this zone environment that we've worked so hard to build this week and take it home and live it for the next 51 weeks of the year. And then on that 52nd week, come back here and let's rehearse it all again next year. I want you to think for a minute about some things that you crave. What are some things that you crave? I personally like chocolate. Sometimes I find myself craving chocolate. If chocolate's not available, generally any other dessert will do. I'm not really picky there. Maybe you remember your mom being pregnant with one of your younger siblings. And maybe your mom craved certain things while she was pregnant. Thankfully, when my wife was pregnant, I got to crave things too, and it was fantastic. I got to crave donuts and strawberries and all kinds of yummy things, and I loved it. I loved her being pregnant because I had some significant cravings that I got to satisfy because she was pregnant. I got to mask it and kind of hide it, and it was fantastic. Some research says you crave things that you lack in your diet. I must be lacking sugar or something. But generally, there's something in your diet that you lack. If you crave a particular type of food or a particular spice or herb or something, generally that's lacking in your diet. Do you want to marry a virgin when you grow up? Is that something you crave? Is that something that's important to you? Do you crave and look forward to having a good marriage? Is that important to you? Do you crave a happy family when you grow up? Do you want to develop a relationship with your spouse and your kids that is a fun family, a family that's there for each other and helping and supporting each other? Maybe you crave a better family than what you have now. Maybe the family that you're in right now is not the family that you want to have when you get older and marry and start having kids. God wants us to look forward to His kingdom. He wants us to begin making plans for His kingdom. He wants us to begin setting goals and to be focused on His kingdom, to crave that kingdom, to put everything else to the side and focus, like Christ says in His own words here in Matthew 6:33. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. Let's go back there again. We read of a story here in the middle part of the book of Genesis. Let's turn to chapter 19. We read of a story here of someone who craved something. This is the story of Lot. In the previous chapters, Lot saw the richness that was there in that well-watered Jordan River Valley. And he chose to dwell off toward Sodom. He ended up moving his family. His family ended up moving into the city. They took up residence there in the city. And in chapter 19, in verse 1, to kind of pick up a little bit of the context here, two angels came to Sodom in the evening. Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom, which was typically a place above the entrance to the city. And if you sat up above this entrance, then you could see who kind of came and went from the city. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Dropping down to verse 13, he receives the purpose of why these messengers were there. Verse 13, "For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it." These messengers from God were sent to warn Lot and his family, to help get them out of the city, because God was so fed up with the buy it now, pay it later mentality that was going on inside Sodom. And God just wanted to wipe the city off and start fresh. Verse 15, "When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, Arise, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, the hands of his daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city." They were lingering. I thought that word is interesting. It's not that the angels woke up the next morning, grabbed their hands, and off they went. It's recorded for us here that they lingered. That Lot's family lingered behind. They were craving something other than what Christ said that we should be craving back in Matthew. They were excited about that buy now, pay later society that they were living in. Verse 25. "So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Lot's wife, we don't know what her name is. The Bible only calls her Lot's wife, or the wife of Lot. Lot's wife, though, whatever her name was, looked back. She craved something. She enjoyed that buy now society. Buy now, don't worry about the consequences. Do what you feel is right. Do what you want to do. That's what Lot's wife was after. The Hebrew word here for look back means to scan or to look intently at, to regard with pleasure, to have regard for something. There was something in that society that Lot's wife loved and wanted. She enjoyed that mentality. Something tugged at Lot's wife's heartstrings, and she looked back towards Sodom. She wanted what was there now. She wasn't interested in the character development. She wasn't interested in becoming like God. She had different priorities. Lot's wife simply disobeyed. She looked back. And for whatever reason, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly what it was back there that she liked, but she looked back, and she looked back toward what that city symbolized and the actual culture within the city. She longed for Sodom. God is not going to save a person like that. And this story here is recorded to help remind us of that. Let's go over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. So Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Let's just pick up a quick verse here. Jesus said, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom." Again, this is a similar word. It's looking back toward what's around us and this way of life that God wants us to lead. God loves the zone environment. He loves the environment that's focused on God and focused on His way of life. He loves the environment that's focused on other people, that's outwardly focused, that wants to help and serve and give and help be a benefit and a true friend to others. This individual, though, Christ says, if we look back into Satan's society, if we look back into that non-zone-like behavior of debt and being selfish, then that's what we end up buying. And God has no use for that person. You can't buy the kingdom now and build the character later. You can't buy the kingdom now and build the character later. That's what Satan wants us to think that we can do. Satan wants us to think that we can just buy it now and figure out all the back-end stuff later. With Satan, everything he touches is backwards. Take what you want now, figure out the rest later is his motto. Have sex now and make sure to use the methods available to prevent pregnancy. And if you get pregnant, no worry, just go ahead and marry down the road and, you know, try to work it out and, oh well. Satan has mixed up and messed with the family units. Look at some of the TV sitcoms on TV. It's the beat down, drunk, good-for-nothing dad, isn't it? And the mom is young and beautiful and fit and trim and successful. The kids then are defiant, they're disobedient. And that's what Satan portrays on TV. That's the family unit that Satan tries to sell. But it's all backwards. That's not the family unit that God instituted. That's not the family unit that God wants us to have, that he designed to have. Satan says, you can go to church, but just don't mind the character. Show up for the friendship. Show up for the networking. Show up so you can meet business contacts and have people that can satisfy needs that you have. Forget about building the character and just love Jesus. That's all you have to do, just love Jesus. Everything Satan touches, though, he messes up and he twists. Let's turn to the book of Revelation. Mr. Elliott referenced this last night in the Bible study. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. This is God's version. This is what God thinks about Satan's buy now, pay later philosophy. Revelation 22, the very last chapter in the Bible, recorded for us here by John. Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. This is the result of Matthew 6:33, of seeking first the kingdom, of rejecting Satan's way of life, of rejecting what Satan himself is selling. Blessed are those who do his commandments. We talked a lot about doing this week, didn't we? We had rewards for going above and beyond zone-like behavior. We talked about faith and how faith is connected with our actions. And we show our faith by how we live our life. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Work now. Study now. Develop that relationship with God now. Strive to be like God now. Strive to serve others and benefit others' lives. And love our God with everything we have and treat our mankind like we want to be treated. Do that now. And in the future then, at some point in the future, God's going to reward us with eternal life. That's God's version of how that process should work. Verse 15 is the result of those individuals, though, that follow the buy now, pay later philosophy. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. And those people simply won't be there. So we have verse 14, God's formula. Verse 15, the buy now, pay later. God wants you in his kingdom. God wants you in his kingdom. That's not something you can buy. God's kingdom is not for sale. God freely gives it to those that seek first his kingdom, that reject Satan's mentality, that follow and take home this zone-like environment that we've worked so hard collectively here this week to build. the patience that's required, the faith, the dedication, all of those things help lead to the reward that I know we all want. Our theme for this year in 2012 is calling, honor, and faith. Those are things that you cannot buy now and pay later. We can't buy those things now and pay later. It takes time to develop that calling. God is calling each of you, but it takes time. It takes work and effort to develop that calling and to begin to develop and build that relationship with God. We grow that in dedication. We end up being led to repentance. There's baptism that follows, and we end up moving toward becoming like God and having His mindset. We talk about showing honor and what that means. We talk about faith and how that's developed and how it's grown over time. Satan wants you to believe, though, that you can have it all now. He wants you to believe that you can have it all now. Again, Adam and Eve tried that, and it failed for them. Lot's wife tried that, and it failed for her. Today's TV, today's movies, even today's music is all about having what you want now. Get the girl that you want. Get the guy that you want. Have the thing that you want. And do it now. Do it today. Let's reject that philosophy. Let's not fall into that trap. Let's not subscribe to that lie that Satan is selling. I have something to show you. This is some peach cobbler the kitchen ladies made this week. How many of you were able to eat some of the peach cobbler? It was awesome, wasn't it? The peaches were donated to us, and they were fresh, and they were yummy, and they were delicious. It took a few days to ripen, and then Mrs. Browning mixed it all up, and wow, it was fantastic. A little dollop of some ice cream on top. I love desserts. Period. Chocolates, ice cream, cakes, pies, brownies, it doesn't matter. Especially peach cobbler. Growing up, I had the best grandma. I don't know what your grandma is like. Or maybe even your mom. I had the best grandma. She lived down in Florida. I grew up in Ohio, in Cincinnati, and every winter break we would go down to see grandma. And I could be guaranteed that walking into grandma's house, there would be at least four or five desserts spread out on her counter. She made the best meringue pies. Her pies looked like pies that you would see in magazines. The meringue was beautiful and fluffy, and the tips of the meringue were golden brown from the baking process. It was awesome. That was probably my favorite week out of the entire year, was going down to see grandma. Inside her refrigerator, she had a tin. It was always the same tin. It was about yay big and about that thick. And it had Buckeyes inside. How many of you know what Buckeyes are? Buckeyes are, I'm sure there's other ingredients, but it's primarily a little ball of peanut butter. She takes a toothpick. She stabs the ball of peanut butter and dips it in chocolate. And then in that, she made a layer on the bottom of the pan, put in some wax paper, did another layer, wax paper, more Buckeyes, and then she put it into the fridge. And in the cold environment then, all of that would kind of ooze together and kind of solidify, and you would end up with a little piece of a dessert that looked just like a Buckeye, a type of nut. That the light brown from the chocolate with the dark, or I'm sorry, the light brown from the peanut butter with the dark brown chocolate on top. It was fantastic. I would hop out of the car when we pulled into her driveway. I'd give Grandma and Grandpa a great big hug, and I'd run right for the refrigerator. And as if she would forget, I would open it up, hoping to see that tin can. And every time we went, that tin can was always in the refrigerator. And I would open it up, pop one in my mouth, and lo, it was awesome to be at Grandma's house. If God were to allow me, when we get to the kingdom, if God were to allow me, I would recreate all desserts in the millennium to have the nutritional values of vegetables. Because I want everybody to experience and to have a love and a passion for desserts like I do. Not just a few, but to have great nutritional value. It's probably not going to happen, but that's okay. I can still dream. What are we going to do with all that we've learned at camp this week? What are we going to learn? Are we going to chalk it up as a great camp with fun activities and fun things and great friends, nice people, beautiful trees, a wonderful lake, and amazingly awesome weather that we've had, and then go our merry way? Or are we going to go home and make a difference in other people's lives? Are we going to go home and take the kingdom, take this little foretaste that we've had here this week, we're going to take that home with us and do our best to continue the zone in our own little environment back home? Are we going to strive to persevere and to crave that kingdom like we might crave other things in our lives? What if I told you that you should have this cobbler now? Or you could wait. It looks good, doesn't it? Looks fantastic. And if I had a spoon, as she meant to bring the spoon, I would take a bite of that right now. And I would make all of you wait for about 20 seconds while I savored that bite and soaked up all the flavors. That's how much love I have for all of you. I would ask for you just to pause for a minute here in the sermon while I engage in a yummy bite of cobbler. What if I told you, though, this cobbler has too much salt? Instead of sugar being used for this cobbler, the same amount that should have been used for sugar was replaced with salt. Would you want some cobbler now? It's quite disgusting, actually. The salt, a little bit of salt is great, but when you're mixing pounds and pounds of salt when it should be pounds and pounds of sugar, it has a very different effect on the desserts. We all participated in camp this week. We all listened to the same compass checks. We all listened to the same Christian living classes. We all talked to many of the same people. We all ran and jumped and played and had fun. But is this the cobbler you're going to eat when you get home? Are you going to take the first thing that comes along your way and say, buy it now, pay later? Where's the fork? And then suffer the consequences later. Or are you going to be a little bit more methodical and think through the process and remember Matthew 6:33 and put God's kingdom first and make sure that we're craving the right thing, not what's simple and easy and right in front of our face? It even smells good too. What are we going to do when we get home? Are we going to fall back into our daily routines of work and school? Or are we going to go for that instant gratification? Or are we going to succumb to Satan's buy now, pay later philosophy? Is that what we're going to do? Or are we going to make sure we take a little piece of this zone environment home with us? Go with me back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30 is where I'd like to go. I want to begin in verse 11. We always read a few verses after this, but I want to start in verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. We understand God's expectations, don't we? I think it would be a unanimous poll if I asked the question, should we keep the Sabbath day? I think we all know that's important. Should we not eat pork? We all know the answer to that. We all know what God commands us. Even if you're 12 or 18 or 30 or 60 years old, we all know what God expects of us. And we all know what behavior we should be living. And so the question here is in verse 11 is it mysterious to us? Is God's way of life mysterious to us? We may have questions. We may not understand some concepts. But we generally know what God expects of us. Verse 12, it's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea and bring it to us? that we may hear it and do it. God's working with each of you. You don't have to send a friend and say, go find out what the Sabbath thing is and report back. God's working with each and every one of you guys. Verse 14, but the word is very near to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, and you may do it. When we go back home, take God's word with you. Study it. Pray about it. Verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and death, good and evil. God's given us a choice. We can follow the formula of Matthew 6:33, put God first, focus on others, strive to build the character that God wants us to have and be like Him, or we can have the buy now, pay later. Do what we want, do what satisfies us, do what feels good to us, do what satisfies and helps our own emotions. The choice is ours. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. God doesn't want us to eat the first thing that comes along. He wants us to be careful and methodical and to make sure that we're focused on God, not that instant gratification that Satan is selling. Verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days. We have two choices before us. We can choose to leave the zone here, and it can fade away as other groups come and go throughout the rest of the summer, or we can take it home with us, and we can live it, and we can practice it, and we can seek first God's kingdom. Will you compromise God's laws by justifying your actions? When you go home, you know the situations that you're going to be put into. You know what's going to happen. You know the upcoming school year, kind of what that's going to be like. You know what friends you're going to be involved with at school or college or work. You probably have a pretty good idea what relationships might be like, and boys and girls and boyfriends and girlfriends you might encounter. You already know the answer as far as how you're going to commit stuff. And deep down, back in the back of your mind, you know what kind of commitment you have toward this way of life. Go home, though, and ask God to lead you into His kingdom. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be successful. He wants you in His kingdom. Make solid and good choices about caring and loving others. Be diligent in what you study and what you pray about. Don't buy into Satan's lie of buy it now and worry about the consequences later. It's a setup for failure. It's a setup for a lifelong struggle of sadness and frustration and unhappiness. Campers and staff, leave this camp tomorrow morning when it ends by making a commitment to set your goal about reaching God's kingdom. Make that your goal. Make that your top goal. Then pray and ask for God's help in getting you there. Because we can't get there on our own. We need His help. Satan is selling us this cobbler that has salt instead of sugar. It's disgusting, this cobbler is. And it's disgusting what Satan is offering and what Satan is selling. Don't buy this cobbler. Don't buy the junk that Satan is selling. Hold out for something better. Stay focused on something better. Work toward the sweetness of God's kingdom that's yet to come.